The Jerry Dornan Show.
All right, here's the question, folks. Can the government, should the government, mandate or legislate decency? Think about that for a second. If you remember last week, we were talking about in the state of Texas, they overturned the upskirt law. This is where douchebag guys take their cell phones, their smartphones, and put it up the skirt of a girl and take a photo. I have no idea why that would be done, but apparently the upper court in the state of Texas ruled that it is an extension of your First Amendment rights to free speech. We talked about that a little bit, and what is it that makes sense about that to the upper court? I don't know. And what would we do about it? But to the notion of legislating morality or decency, is there a place for government to do that? Apparently in Kansas City, Missouri, they believe it is. There's an ordinance that makes street harassment illegal, whether it's physical aggression, threats, or catcalls. Joining us on the program to talk about this, Anita Findley, author, actress, blogger, EpicTimes.com contributor, author of Dirty Words on Clean Skin, a book that spent 4 months, number one position, Amazon's Women in Politics list. Anita, welcome back to the show.
Hi, Jerry. Thank you so much. Good to be back.
My pleasure. And you wrote about this a ways back at EpicTimes.com, did you not? About this, about catcalling?
Well, you know, let's be clear also what Kansas City is doing in terms of street harassment. They're making either, you know, acts of physical aggression. We're talking about people who not only will shout out things at women walking out on the street and shouting obscenities or exposing themselves, but if a woman is on a bicycle and she stopped at a light, you know, somebody will stop and harass her. But also, you know, someone's being physically aggressive and forcing a bicycle off the road or harassing someone in a wheelchair. You know, this can be beyond just the pollution that you put in someone's lives of calling nasty, you know, or obscene names to a woman. This can also be physical aggression. So, you know, to that extent, that's something that should be punishable by law, you know, and put somebody in jail for doing something like that. But, you know, to your question, can we legislate it? I think it's good that we put boundaries on the books. I think it's a very big shame that we have to. But there's one thing you cannot legislate. You cannot legislate respect. And you cannot legislate decency. You can teach respect. You can learn it. You can be on the receiving end of disrespect. And I think until you put people who do these kinds of things on the other end of it, they don't understand what it is they're doing to other people. And they don't really get why it's a consequence or why it harms other people or restricts them in their daily lives.
Well, as they point out in one of the articles, that there's already laws in Kansas City against general harassment that are already in place. But they say this is going to be more specific with regard to pedestrians and bicyclists from abuse. And this is all about them wanting to get residents walking and biking and being more healthy. And this one's weird. It says that women, according to the organization Bike Walk KC, says they can't jog, bike, or even walk their kids to school without being harassed. I would have to think that in guys' brains, she's with her kids. You know, I mean, if you're going to be a perv, at least try and, you know, put a governor on yourself when she's with her kids. And I'm not condoning being a perv in the first place, but you would think that would be something where she's got her kids, she's walking her kids to school. You know, I mean, can't you control yourselves?
But isn't that the very point? This really tells you that there is no decency involved. And just so you know, because I think you were referring to, you know, what I had written in Epic Times, I'd shared some of the experiences I had growing up in the city. And, you know, men have exposed themselves to me on three different occasions. Once when I was 15 at a botanical gardens, and another in the middle of the day when I'm walking with a lot of pedestrians and, you know, this person was shaking the branch of a tree to attract my attention. I look and he's got his pants down around his ankles. And another time I'm walking home from college and some guy who must be around my age is masturbating in a car. So obviously he's exposed himself and he drives around the corner cutting me off, almost knocking me down with his car just to show me what's going on in there. So these are some of the specific instances. I hate to bring this up, but I use myself as an example because I want people to hear this and say, do you think that's appropriate? What was I doing to deserve that sort of pollution and fear to be brought into my life? And just also, you know, if the audience is not aware, just in case they're not, a lot of the people who are most subject are women with kids or young girls who are for 12, 15 years old. You know, they're just in puberty, whatever, and the guys know that they have a very easy target, because when you're at that stage, you just feel so intimidated, more so than perhaps someone in their 40s, and, you know, that you're a real easy target for that sort of thing. I mean, there really is no justification, and it is not about self-control, Jerry. I really have to disagree with that, because I think it has to do with power. You know, just as rape is not about sex, it's also about power. Whenever you use something that you have that someone doesn't have in order to intimidate them, in order to, you know, throw your weight in their face, as it were, that really is about, you know, your own sense of powerlessness and frustration that you have to somehow take that out or exercise your presence on somebody else. And, you know, but to your point, I don't know what you can put on the books that's going to do very much about that unless somebody catches you in the act. And that's something else that a couple of articles I looked at were talking about, that unless you, the cop actually sees it, it's your word against the person's, and what are you going to do?
Right. But, you know,
I don't even know how you can enforce that.
Like, I know, I don't know specifically, but I mean, I know, I have a gut feel that there's nobody that I consider to be a friend that would ever do something like that. You know what I mean? It's like those people know other people. They're connected to people in some way. I know there's the loner, and I got all that kind of stuff. But isn't there a certain responsibility? You can put all the laws you want on the books, and you can these laws in Kansas City give a description of what it is if you're on a bicycle, and they go into, you know, something with a system of belts and chains and gears that include an electric assist motor, wheels of at least 16 inches in diameter, and frame size of at least 13 inches, and what a wheelchair means, and sounds that would be a horn or a shout or a direct loud or unusual sound. So they give it, getting very specific about what it is that they don't want people to do. But even with the laws on the books and another law on the book, it's like putting another perimeter fence around the White House. You know, if somebody wants to get into jump the fence, they're going to jump two fences instead of one fence. But to my point is that there are people that know people. And to a certain degree, we have a responsibility to say to that person, knock it off, do we not? I mean, all the laws, and that's where I think we can actually do something about it. It's the same thing with the Texas upskirt law. I don't know how that being allowed is an extension of your First Amendment right to free speech. That just sounds criminal on face value. It certainly sounds less than respectful, obviously.
No, it's disgusting, but doesn't that tell you the way women are overall treated in this country? I realize that people want to make this a political distinction, and some people on the right are going to say, oh, you're just talking about this war on women, and there's no war. It has nothing to do with that. Let's forget ideology, and let's forget who's trying to run an election. Forget all of it. Just talk about plain, normal decency, because what you said is exactly right, Jerry. You know, we are our brother's keeper, and we're our sister's keeper, too. And there was another story I wanted to share with you that, you know, since we were talking about domestic violence also very recently, you know, there was a woman talking about, you know, being in a relationship with someone. She had no idea when she started that he was violent, and he chased her out into the street and, you know, got her down on the ground and was sitting on her and started beating the hell out of her and just beating her in the face. And she said what was more horrible almost than the fact that he was beating her and she couldn't stop him was that she looked over and she saw other people standing there and nobody did anything. Nobody called the cops. Nobody said, hey, knock it off. Nobody, you know, and we have to realize that part of what you're talking about, beyond trying to be a hero and getting in the middle of something, is, you know, if you see street harassment, if you see somebody making a sexist comment, you're absolutely right. Hey, knock it off. Because unless you as a man shun somebody else doing it, they think it's cool. But when you send the message as a cool guy that somebody else doing it, no, you're not cool. I reject you for that behavior. That's when the behavior will stop.
You were just talking about that scenario, and I remember when I was in flight school back in the days of the Wright brothers down at Embry-Riddle Aeronautical University in Daytona Beach, Florida. One of the bars we used to go to on the weekends was called The Other Place, and it was in Ormond Beach, which is just north of Daytona Beach. And my flight school roommate, Franny McCabe, he's captain for American Airlines today, frightening thought. No, I'm just kidding. He's a great pilot. But we came out of the other place. I don't know what time it was. It was 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning. And some guy had just hauled off and clocked his girlfriend. And Franny snapped and just ran over, grabbed this guy. And then obviously we all decided to participate because it looked like fun. And basically beat the snot out of this guy. And he ended up in a trash dumpster. And he made sure that she got a cab home or wherever it was that she was going. And, you know, that just instinctively to him and to us was the thing that you do. You just get involved. But today, what is it that people don't get involved? Is it lawyers? Is it that people just have less of an idea of what right and wrong is, do's and don'ts? You know, what's going on? How would people not get involved?
I think it may be a combination of everything that you just said, that, you know, now in terms of even being a good Samaritan, if you see somebody who's choking, you're almost afraid, because if you do it wrong, then they can sue you. You know, I think that is a part of it. But I also wonder if it's this sensationalized video kind of culture that we have, that you just drive by and everything is like you're watching a train wreck, that it's not real. And I don't know whether people are stressed out. They just don't want to get involved. I'm not sure what that is. I remember, just in a very minor example, living in New York years ago, I saw this young woman. She was obviously not from here, you know, walking through the streets of New York in a very nice neighborhood, and she had a very fancy pocketbook on her shoulder, and it was open. The pocketbook was open, and she's sort of looking up. You can tell she's a tourist, and there was a young guy who just walked up, sidled up to her, and almost put his hand in her bag. And I was about 20 at the time, and I didn't even think about it. I said, "Hey, ma'am, can you tell me what time it is?" And, you know, I attracted her attention and his attention, he gave me a dirty look. He knew what I was doing. But I got away with it. He walked away, and she didn't have her pocket picked. So was that a dangerous thing for me to do? Probably. I mean, he could have hauled off and clocked me. But I spoke without thinking. I'm no hero, believe me. But I'm just saying that, you know, sometimes that's part of the campaign that's going on in India, by the way, is that they have talked about ring the bell, that when you hear domestic violence, if you just, you know, ring the bell and ask for a cup of sugar, that you can actually stop something from going on, because you're distracting the person from what it is they're doing. I really don't know the answer why people don't get more involved, but I think we really have to remember that when we're talking about any sort of crime, whether it's street harassment or something that is violent, it's not just them. It is us, because if we start to have more of a sense of community, then you are including people, and then you have a better chance of stopping it and not being, you know, we're also isolated. Everybody's got their face in the phone. You know, to reach out to each other, I think we do have a better chance at stopping it than just putting some ordinance on the books.
Anita Finley with us on the program, author of Dirty Words on Clean Skin, contributor at EpicTimes.com. I have to tell you, I'm a little scarred from that link to that video that you sent me, Maddie and Tay, Girl in a Country Song, 7.7 million views on YouTube. I'm scarred by the fat guy in the shirtless overalls.
Isn't that the most fabulous video ever for
It's hysterical.
My best friend told me about this. She's new to country music, and she discovered these two young women, Maddie and Tay, are two teenaged singer-songwriters, and they're very pretty, blonde young women, and they just wrote this as a satire on the country male artists who are always writing about women who, you know, have their boobies hanging out and are walking around and painted on shorts. They got no name and no identity and no nothing. It's like slide on over, honey, kind of thing.
Right.
And is the video not hysterical? Because
it's hysterical. Those three guys that are dressed up like hot women, and the fat guy in overalls with no shirt on, you know, doing like the water scene from Flashdance. It'll scar you.
It's hysterical. No, it won't scar you. It's hysterical. I loved it. Yeah, but don't you think this is exactly what I'm talking about? This is why I sent you this video. Thank you for bringing it up. It's because it's a humorous way to make the point.
Unless
you reverse the polarities and you put men in the same position that women have been in for, you know, since time immemorial, then you start to get the message. You know, when you have the guys in the little hot short shorts, with stuff hanging out, you know, chewing on a strawberry suggestively to the camera, then you start, isn't it great? You start to get the message. This is how we're treating women and objectifying them. And do you think that that's, is that the way we want to continue the dialogue in this country? Because that's why this kind of street harassment happens. That's why a lot of this harassment happens. You don't see them as
right.
real.
Yeah, but you know, you're an actress. You've done the TV, you've done comedies. You do commercials. Being a voiceover guy, occasionally we would get to go audition at a place where they'd be having a call for Budweiser or Miller, and the women that would come into these auditions, the voiceover guys, we'd be there like, oh my God, where do they find? It's the same thing at Fox News. If you're in the outside office waiting to go in and meet with someone. I mean, there are women that are willingly dressing up the way they do and signing on to be a part of what it is, so there's a certain culpability there, too.
Well, I think that, you know, I think you have a point. I think that unless we're willing to say goodbye to whatever the dollar value is, you know, that's exploiting us, you know, for the women, I mean, they're not exploiting me because I don't right. get hired to do that, but I don't want to do that. But, you know, you have to be willing to say, no, it's not okay with me. But unfortunately, that sort of thing is so prevalent and across the boards, and until we get to the place of parity where men are not controlling the narrative at all levels, you're going to get right. this kind of 14-year-old boy attitude of that's what they want to see. It's like they're looking at, you know, the girls in the comic book with everything
right.
hanging out. And
Jessica
so,
Rabbit.
Jessica Rabbit. Bingo. That's exactly right.
Right? So Anita, I got to take a break here. I'm sorry, I'm coming up on a hard break. Anita Finley with us on the program. Check out her book, Dirty Words on Clean Skin, Amazon.com, all major book retailers. All the great stuff she posts for us at EpicTimes.com. And we will post that video of Maddie and Tay on our Facebook page, Girl in a Country Song, because it's breathtaking to say the least. Thanks, Anita. It will be an education with some entertainment. Thanks very much. We'll do it again.
Always a pleasure, Jerry. Thank you. Have a great day.
Thanks, Anita. You too. Stick with us. We'll be right back.
The Jerry Doyle Show.